Jason Raleigh, president and CEO of the Phoenix Suns, joins us. Hey, Jason, let me say, first of all, thanks for coming on the show. Second of all, how is the relationship between the Suns and the city of Phoenix?
Yeah, Monty, I'm a couple things. I'm glad that you were forthright and direct about the poll that came out the other day, because, and we could talk about that a little bit, but I'm also glad you're bringing this up, because I have a lot of frustration, and I know the folks over at the city do, about this continued description out in the media about the relationship between the Suns and the city as being somehow adversarial or in conflict, or that this is some kind of a dispute. The simple reality is that this negotiation has been an ongoing process for about 3 years, and it's part of the normal process that is laid out in the existing agreement that we have with the city that has been there for 26 years. And we are just simply following that normal process to its its appropriate conclusion, because that's what our agreement provides for. So this is a situation where it's not where our owner, Robert Sarver, has been trying to strong-arm the city into making a big investment and pounding his chest and making demands. Actually, it's the opposite, where the city of Phoenix and ourselves sat down a long time ago with the recognition that this building, the oldest in the NBA and in dire need of upgrades and renovations to keep even the guts of it functioning appropriately, needed to come to some kind of resolution. So the reality is, I'm so glad you asked that question, because the relationship is very, very strong. We work with the city of Phoenix day in and day out, year after year, because we manage and operate this building on their behalf, and they have a financial interest in how we operate it in terms of what we pay them in rent and revenue sharing, and obviously what they receive in tax rolls, and obviously based on the investment they originally made in this building. So I'm very happy to admit you asked that question, because I think it's an important one for people to recognize that this is not something where the city of Phoenix and the Suns are butting heads and in some kind of, you know, hot dispute. That's just not the case.
Correct. Jason Raleigh, Suns president and CEO, joins us on 1580 and 99.3 The Fanatic. And I think the other thing that is amazing is, I've gone through this over the last several weeks, so many people, and I was even amazed to turn on the TV and the radio yesterday and find people that were confused about the fact that you guys don't own the building. You guys are a tenant. You rent the building from the city, correct?
That is correct. So let me give you a good example that I hope people can relate to. So imagine a situation where you rent an apartment from a landlord, and the plumbing in the ceiling above you, in the unit above you, busts a leak and floods out your apartment. And then the landlord, in most situations, the tenant wouldn't expect that they themselves would have to cut a big check to make those repairs to that plumbing system. They would pretty reasonably expect that the landlord would be the ones who are responsible for that. What we are, and that's really the case here. So the reality is that those costs fall under our agreement to the city of Phoenix. What we are willing to do, what the Suns are willing to do, is make a significant contribution to those costs to put this building in a position to be successful going forward, and not just through the term of our existing agreement, but also willing to tack on an additional bunch of years to get us all the way to 2037. So we don't own the building. We manage it on behalf of the city of Phoenix, and the city of Phoenix gets a very nice return on that investment. And we're happy to do that. That's something that we take great pride in. And again, the partnership with the city of Phoenix has been terrific over the years, and something that we want to continue to build and foster for the betterment of the city, the community, and our organization.
Let me ask you, Jason Raleigh, very directly, did Robert Sarver threaten to move this team to Seattle or Las Vegas if this agreement was not ratified yesterday?
He absolutely did not. And I will emphatically say that. I said that yesterday, and again, it's amazing how after going on several news outlets yesterday to make it extraordinarily clear that our number one, number two, and number three option are to continue to work towards a deal here and to stay in this market. If you look at the commitment Robert has had to downtown Phoenix, it's really astounding. I mean, both with the Suns and with his bank, Western Alliance Bancorp, where he essentially brought 800-plus high-paying jobs to downtown Phoenix. He's one of the largest donors to downtown nonprofits. He and his wife personally donated $1 million-plus to the Phoenix Children's Museum. All these things where he has made a commitment to downtown Phoenix are essentially being swept away and under the rug because somebody with a political agenda decided to make the claim that he's threatening to go to another city, which is just not the case. It doesn't even make logical sense. Why would we have signed a term sheet to try and reach a deal to stay in downtown Phoenix when we're not obligated to? That's what people need to understand here. We could sit here under our existing deal and do nothing, and on July 1 of 2019, go to arbitration, the building would be determined obsolete, and then we are free to go anywhere we want in 2022. So there is nothing that would prevent us from doing that. Robert was willing to step up and work with the city in partnership, and they've been willing to work with us to try and come to a resolution that completely avoids that. So what's going to happen is this. If you get to that obsolescence provision and there is no deal and we end up having to leave, the city's on the hook for everything that has to happen in this building regardless.
Yes,
so there's still $200 million to $250 million of things that have to happen. Just the question is, do you want a contribution from a tenant or don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Jason Rowley, president and CEO of the Suns, joins us here on Monty in the Morning. Does Robert Sarver have a reputation/perception problem? Because I think you are well aware that there are a lot of fans who, you know, that believe that Robert is a billionaire. And the next time I hear he's a billionaire, let him pay for it himself, whether that's from Kate Gallego right. or whether that's from a fan. Do you believe right. that your owner has a perception problem?
I'd say that sports owners in general have a perception problem. And I would certainly say that Robert, and he'll be the first to admit this, has not always conducted himself in a way that is reflective of how he wants people to see him. He bought this team as a fairly young guy, and I think has grown and matured significantly since that time. I also think because of that, over time he has had the difficulty of being able to acquire any additional equity in the community, and that's really unfortunate because I wish that if people really knew the real Robert Sarver, they'd have a different view of him. And I know people are going to say, that's just Rowley making excuses for the guy he works for. But the fact is, I've worked for the guy for 12 years, and I know him personally, and I've seen some of the truly great things he has done. Do people look at our record and look at some of the personnel decisions and some of the basketball decisions that have happened over the years and have a kind of a jaunted eye towards us about that? No question about it, and we fully recognize that. And that's a fair criticism. And anybody who would try and avoid that is it'd be silly to do that. But what people should be looking at is this: not the owner, not who the current players are, not who the current coach is, not who the current CEO is, but they should be looking at what this building and what this franchise mean to the community in the long term. So just looking at it through the lens of how do I feel about Robert Sarver is a very short-sighted way of looking at things, because a narrow way of looking at things, because what people really should be looking at is what is the overall contribution and return that the city of Phoenix receives and the community receives from having this building operating at a high level and being a world-class facility and having an NBA franchise here in the Valley.
Yeah, no question about it, Jason, because I think the number is, correct me if I'm wrong, you guys put over $180 million annually through that building, correct?
That is the direct, and these are the city's numbers, not ours. Direct economic impact from the arena to the city of Phoenix is about $180 to $182 million.
Man.
That's not even counting the taxes. That's not counting all the 1,200 or so jobs that we support here at the arena. The other 58 or so companies with millions of dollars in payroll that we do business with here in the Valley, all of the economic driver pieces that nobody is talking about, that's what people should really be focusing on. Setting the Suns aside, this building is a key to a vibrant downtown and a vibrant city. If you want to compete at the highest level with cities like Dallas or Atlanta or a Las Vegas or a Seattle or a San Francisco, you need to also be a city that has world-class amenities. Otherwise, when big companies are looking to relocate here and to get our economy continuing to move in the right direction, they're going to look to see, hey, what are the great things that exist in Phoenix for our employees to have a higher quality of life? And having an arena in a downtown, vibrant downtown area that provides not just Suns games, but Mercury games, Rattlers games, 40 or so concerts a year, other family shows, other conventions, other opportunities for people to come down here and gather and act as a community. You basically have to make the decision, do you want to be playing in that space with these other cities or don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
And for me, even if I wasn't working here, as somebody who would want to see a city continue to grow and develop, to me that's a no-brainer, particularly when you look at the true economic numbers and the true economic impact.
Well, and you're also a U of A guy. You work with Arizona State. I mean, you're an Arizona guy. I mean, you probably get this more than you get this more than most people do. You know, the question that comes to mind is, how much have you talked to Derek Hall about this? Because it's really crazy, but you guys are in a very similar situation, stadium arena wise, what they went through with the county and what kind of where you're at. Now, the animosity thing, that was real with the Diamondbacks in Maricopa. You guys actually have a good working relationship with the city, but how much have you talked to Derek Hall about their situation versus your situation?
You know, Derek and I are good friends. We're also colleagues, and obviously we have conversations from time to time. We haven't spent a lot of time, leaning on each other about our respective facility issues. Probably because at the end of the day, we'd rather just talk about more fun things like what's happening on the field or what's happening on the court.
Yeah, I totally get that. As we visit with Jason Rowley, Suns president and CEO, I do want to talk about this poll. Because this was shocking to me. One, it really, for whatever purpose it was commissioned for, I gotta tell you, Jason, I think it did tremendous damage to the process. And I also, as I've said on the show for the entire week, I think it's a complete sham. To represent that this poll, and for those of you who don't know, Marcin Media did a poll that said 65.8% of likely voters in Phoenix would be against this. And it turns out it was 450 people, and only on landlines, by the way.
Right.
And they didn't tell them the true nature of the poll. What were your thoughts on this poll, and do you believe that it did damage to the process?
I think it probably did do damage to the process, and that's unfortunate. Although, let me say this. Because this is the city's process, and because we've been working with the city on this, we have followed the city's lead on what the process of this should be. And they've been terrific to work with. The fact that it's now been extended until January 23rd to have a greater level of public input, we're 100% behind that and 100% for that. That is fine. We were of the belief going into that meeting that we had that there was support by the city council, and so we were happy to go forward with it. If there's not support at the city council and we need to continue to do legwork to make sure that it exists, we're happy to do that, and we'll certainly do everything we can to educate the public, because the fact is, I understand if there's a perception that this was trying to get pushed through at the dark of night and that there's something fishy going on. It's actually the exact opposite of that. We're more than happy to show what the economic impact is, what the true dollars are, what the deal really means. And this goes back to that poll. The fact that people who were polled were not asked a question that actually truly represents what the deal is. If you had that question, maybe have one or two questions that it even said, this is under the existing structure that has been in place and was built, and a structure that was in an agreement done for this exact purpose 26 years ago, that the agreement that was agreed to by the city and taxpayers back then provided for this exact process to happen now, and for the sports facility fund that was created back then for the exact purpose of building this arena and for funding renovations going forward. If that question had been asked, I think you would have gotten a significantly different answer rather than just, do you think the taxpayer fund should go to renovate a sports arena?
Which, yeah,
on its face, almost everybody's going to say no to that. I don't care if your team's winning 60 games.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it was incredibly I guess prejudicial is the right way to put it. I mean, I just think that it was so slanted. But on the flip side of that,
and to be honest, Monty, we have our ideas of who really did commission that and what their motivations are, and that's okay.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. As we visit with Jason Rowley, Suns president and CEO, here for another minute or two, I do want to ask you about winning and losing, because the other thing we hear a lot is, well, why are we going to do this? Whether it's right or wrong, why are we going to do this when the Suns are off to their worst start in franchise history? You guys have lost 10 in a row. You hear all of this turmoil inside of the basketball team. do you believe that you guys are headed in the right direction, and do you believe that you are doing everything you can do to win every single game that you play?
I do. What I also believe and fully understand is that it has taken us a lot longer to get on the right track and move in the right direction than we would have hoped to, and then certainly what the fans deserve. And what I'd point to is the example I'd point to is the Philadelphia 76ers, where, you know, just a couple of years ago, when they were very similar to us, where they had a lot of young talent, and the community was going nuts about how they were playing. They won 10 games in the year before they started turning it around. They went from 10 to, I think, 26, and then to like 54 games. So that turnaround can happen relatively quickly, and we're in a very similar spot. Obviously, you have to execute on it, and you have to continue to make sure you grow and develop. But we've made the commitment to keep Devin Booker here long term with a max contract last year, signing it in this past summer that'll kick in next year. Obviously, DeAndre Ayton, who has gotten off to a great start, is going to continue to develop, and this strong young core that we have, and Igor is a terrific coach who's in his first year, and obviously is going to be learning the ropes himself. So I just would implore people to stick with us. But the point of whether or not people should be considering the team performance right now as it relates to an arena renovation goes back to my point that, to be very honest, that is very short-sighted. Because let's say we were winning 60 games right now and everybody's like, sure, go ahead and sign up for it. Or the opposite, say, no, don't sign up for an arena renovation. The reality is 10 years down the road, our record could be completely different than it is now. Or if we were winning 60 games 10 years down the road, you could be at a 20-win season. You just don't know in sports. It goes up and down. It does for pretty much everybody. And so making short-term, making decisions that have long-term consequences because of short-term realities or short-term considerations is a very bad way to decide how to invest public dollars in facilities the public already owns and the public has already invested a significant amount of money in. So it's really two choices. You can move forward with a renovation, and a renovation that we also significantly participate in with $80 million contributed, plus another 50. What the other thing people aren't really talking about is the practice facility that we are going to build is probably going to be about $50 million. We've committed to do it in the city of Phoenix. That generates more taxes, more revenue for the city, and we are taking those facilities out of this building, out of the arena, and moving them to off-site to a separate practice facility. So in essence, we're losing space in the building that we currently use to repurpose it for other revenue-generating things that help generate revenue for the city on a further level. So our investment in the total project is actually much closer to about $130 million when you take into account the practice facility.
Well, in the rent, you guys are going to wind up somewhere around $60 million in rent. I think the number is $60 million from here to 2037 when right. It expires. Like, I mean, your total numbers, if you look at the $12.5 million you have to put in, because you're putting in a $1 million annually for 12 and a half years.
Right.
Like, you guys are over $200 million here. And have you not already put in, I think you said yesterday was $150 million in infrastructure into the building already.
So that's the other thing. So I know there's been some people out there who are saying that the split here is unfair, that it's $150 million the city's putting in, we're putting in $80 million, and that doesn't seem like a fair split. And I can understand that, but candidly, there's a part of me that doesn't, because, again, we don't own the building. First of all, so we're committing to $80 million in the building we don't own. Show me any other landlord-tenant situation or relationship where the tenant is paying a significant portion of capital improvements or construction costs for the real estate. It doesn't exist anywhere else,
yeah,
except in the sports world, and so we're willing to do that. That's number one. Number two is that from the inception of the agreement, so going back all the way 26 years till today, not counting the deal going forward if it's approved, coming up to today, we the Suns have put in about $150 million, not in operating expenses. We've also paid all the operating expenses, but exclusive of operating expenses, we have paid $150 million in construction costs and large-scale capital improvements over that period of time. The city has put in about $80 million. So literally, when you take the original deal and what they put in and what we put in up to today, and then you added in what they would put in and we would put in going forward, you're basically a 50-50 deal through the entire term of the deal, yeah, with the extension wow. included. And nobody is focusing on that. So to say that it's not a 50-50 deal when you have to look at the deal in its totality, not just as of today, is an inaccurate way of looking at it.
Yeah, totally agree. Jason, great to meet you. Appreciate your candor, and appreciate you coming on the show. Thanks so much.
Monty, I appreciate it.
You bet. Jason Rowley, Suns president and CEO. Monty in the Morning on 1580 and 99.3 The Fanatic.